Hey, everybody. Welcome to what is now the first episode of Discovery Church's new podcast, Life Between Sundays. I'm your host, Dean Klein. I'm associate pastor here at Discovery. I'm so happy you've joined us. You can right now like, subscribe, follow, comment, and if something good happens, share it with your friends, coworkers. Today, super excited. One of my best friends in the world, I've known him for 30 years, Smith Sharp, senior pastor here at Discovery, is joining me. We talk about a host of things. Probably the central theme, though, is going to be what's going on with the church in America, some of the struggles, and why some people skip church. Stick around and listen. Let's see what happens. Man,
what's going
can
on?
You believe it?
What?
It's episode one.
Again.
This is the second episode one.
Yeah, it's the second chapter. Next chapter.
Chapter. Yeah. So I have a podcast.
Yes, you do. Now you have.
And had
your
I
your own podcast.
Had I known, I
and
probably
your camera is bigger than mine.
Yeah, for those watching, my camera, we found it's more expensive
and
bigger
better.
And nice and I
bigger and better.
I love,
which is probably the way the whole podcast is going to go. It's going to be bigger and better.
Let's if not, we'll just end it quickly. So we're going to have a podcast. Do you even know what it's called?
Yes. It's like between Sundays.
Okay.
Or something like that.
It was.
Well.
Okay. You know what we
did
found?
Did you just change it because I knew what it was?
There was a trademark.
Oh.
Another church had Between Sundays.
No
it
kidding.
Trademarked it. Yeah. Like 2 or 3 years ago. And so there's some good and bad. So we changed the name.
Okay.
It's now Life Between Sundays.
Life Between Sundays.
But we have a sign coming from Ukraine.
Wouldn't shorten it to Between
yeah,
Sundays.
Yeah, we can just, and the sign's going to say Between Sundays because we bought it before. We may just put a little name on it or put life on it, but we're on a budget.
That's right.
So the sign's going to be Between
Sundays.
Can't
have two signs.
We can't have two signs. No. So it's Between Sundays. Okay. And the idea being, I feel like you have Sunday covered. I've felt that for a long time.
You think I got that one day.
You got Sunday covered,
I got
right?
one day covered.
And really, you get to Friday at like 3.
Yeah.
After 3 on Friday, Friday's easy. I feel like
you got
Saturday,
Friday.
It's Saturday.
That's Saturday.
You don't have to worry about Saturday.
Except if you have a wedding.
Except if you have a wedding or
a funeral,
or yard work or something.
Yeah. I like it.
But then Sunday is great till 8 p.m., right?
Right.
Because.
Really, I just like the whole thing.
I know, I do too. Yeah. Sunday is really kind of the easiest day because we all go to church.
Yeah.
Everybody dresses up.
Yeah.
They clean up.
Clean up, yeah.
They clean up. Everybody sings the same songs. We smile.
Yeah.
Everybody acts like
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit's there.
Yes.
We act like we're happy, mm-hmm. even if we're not.
Well, you get happier.
You get happier.
Yeah. 100%.
But then.
It's good.
But then's Monday. Mm-hmm. And see, I feel like Monday through like Friday at 3, that's my area. I feel like, I get beat up.
Do you?
Monday through Friday at 3. That's my area of expertise.
Okay. All right.
Your Sunday. Right.
Okay. I get a day.
You get a day. And I feel like you've done it for 20 years. You're great at it.
Okay. All right.
So I've been looking at like, and here's what I want your opinion on.
My opinion. Okay.
So life between Sundays, what all does that involve? Because that's what I want to talk about, right? Like what? And so I was thinking, like, you gotta go to school. You gotta go to high school. You gotta go to college. You gotta get educated, right? Mm-hmm. You gotta get a job.
Yeah.
Keep a job.
You gotta keep a job. You have to work.
You have to work between your life
yeah.
Sunday.
Yeah, that's when you're working.
You gotta work. You gotta get money, save money.
You gotta prioritize things.
Spend money, tithe money.
Yeah.
You gotta find a girlfriend, keep a wife.
But when you get the wife, you can't have a girlfriend.
No.
You're not suggesting.
No.
Okay.
Well, that's going to make your life between Sundays very complex.
That will wreck it.
Then you gotta have babies at some point. You get to have babies.
And then you finish having babies.
You finish them. Then We're finished. Cheers on that. You've got to raise them up.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they get, you think that it's going to get easier.
Yeah.
And sometimes it gets harder.
Yeah.
You got to have, in life between Sundays, you have relationships.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, and I thought I'd seen it all.
Yeah.
I haven't. So that's what, and there's tragedy.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of that
sickness.
Too.
And so my idea is to pick some of those topics.
Okay.
And bring people in that are either doing it, have been doing it well, or like in my case, did it poorly and then figured it out,
yeah,
and just trying to do it better.
So what you're saying is it's not just what life hands you that makes life in between Sundays good or bad. It's it's what you know about it,
yeah,
and how your strategies for life, your knowledge, wisdom, expectations, all that, resources that help you navigate those other 6 days.
Yeah, I feel like if somebody asks me advice now,
yeah,
I'm pretty sure I can tell them what to not do.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I don't know that I can tell them what to do, but I can say, don't do this. Because I did this 3 times, and it
that's funny.
And it blew up every time.
You know what? There's a lot to just knowing what not to do. There, I mean, that's probably 75% of it right there. You don't even have to know what to do. If you know what not to do, you're way ahead of the game.
Or if you're dealing with sickness or you're dealing with tragedy, and I can bring somebody in here.
Yeah.
That's on the other side of that. Because a lot of times when you're in it, you can't see where there ever could be any goodness. But somebody that's 4 years on the other side can say, but hold on, like, there is goodness in it.
When you're not in it, you can imagine yourself behaving a certain kind of way when you are in it.
Yeah.
That is super spiritual. You know?
Yeah.
But when you're in it, You don't have that perspective anymore.
Yeah.
It's just, you're just trying to tread water, and you can't, it's hard to catch a breath.
Hard to catch a breath. Like, I think about even like.
That's why you need other people.
Yeah. Even just our discussion before we started today. So, you know, I had a broken down car yesterday, just right outside the door.
Right. It
is. It still is. And it's just like my whole perspective was just bad. I was just like, I just got this thing back.
Just got it.
I mean, and I said to myself, there's something breaking all the time.
Mm.
And part of it's I'm spoiled and I have things that break, right? I recognize that. But life is just things breaking.
Everything's breaking.
Everything's breaking. And it is all I'm breaking.
Yep.
This brand new set.
Yeah. It's going to break.
It's as new as it's ever going to be.
That's right.
And today, your son Beatty fixed my car.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I'm happy. And it's like, why was I so
tore
upset
up about
last night?
That's right.
I lost sleep. I was waking up like, I'm going to do this podcast and I got to get the car towed.
All right. My whole day tomorrow is shot. Yeah.
And then,
well, see, that's what the devil, steal, kill, and destroy. That's what the devil is doing all the time. And we think it's out here somewhere. It's not. It's in here.
Yeah. Do you think that's a good idea, though?
What?
Like that kind of discussion?
Oh, yeah. I think it's a wonderful idea. I think it's a great idea. And I think you'll do a great job
doing it.
What you're doing is you're giving people useful information.
I hope.
Yeah.
Well, and
especially if you could tell people what not to do.
Yeah. Well, and if somebody's
and then they got to know this. Yeah, I know it wasn't good for him to do, but he's not in my situation.
Right.
And then they'll talk themselves into doing it, and then they'll come on your
and
show.
And they'll be like, "I shouldn't have done it."
That's right.
Well, maybe when we start, I mean, I don't know everything. So people can like comment and say, what about, you know, this situation? I just did an 11 session class on leadership from the Bible.
Oh,
and man, I could pick.
That's right. And you did that at Klein Associates, right?
I did. I did it at my day job.
Yeah.
And man, it was great. And I had read it before, but just things that, you know, the first one of those is that if something's not going well and you're the leader, the chances are it's your fault.
Yeah. And that's hard to.
It's the law of the lid.
Law of the lid.
And it's like, you got it. If you want everything to get
by
better,
the way, should we, when we say Klein Associates, should we plug Slim Jim? Should we get people
to
buy Slim Jim at your local convenience store?
We could. I mean, we could bring new items on here, taste test them, and say they're all good. I mean, I wouldn't have any problem with that. We could say, like, this section sponsored by. Because we do have Buffalo Wild Wings. Chicken sticks are coming out. I mean, there wouldn't be anything against talking about that, I don't think. And buy those at your local store. It's going to be in December,
now. In the much larger camera you're looking at there. And
so,
better.
I mean, that's my idea behind it.
Yeah.
And that gives me energy.
Yeah.
It allows us to find people that have already done the things that and learn from them and talk about how God redeemed it.
Yeah.
And you know, all things work for the good.
Yeah.
And we want to say that just good things work for the good of me.
Right.
And it's really all things.
All things.
And so I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
But mostly today I'm excited because I love to just sit and talk to you.
Oh.
So I got something I want to throw at you.
There's one.
There's one. Well, I love you enough for
one person.
1.5 people.
Okay.
Not two, but
not quite two.
So I wanna just unpack something with you.
Okay, so we're doing a podcast. Now
we're gonna do an official. We're gonna talk.
Okay.
We're gonna podcast.
Okay, we're gonna podcast.
And neither one of us really know what that means.
Nope.
But we'll work it out.
Okay.
So Sunday.
Yes.
We had Vision Sunday.
Yes, we did. Yeah.
And one of the things that's happening in our church is that we're building a church.
Yeah.
We're building another building, which is an outgrowth of too many people, not enough space, you know, all the things that need you to double, like, seats, right?
Right.
Which are all...
And create a podcast set.
Set.
In the basement of a house.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say we're in my living room, but we're not. We're actually in a kind of a basement.
In a basement of a house.
Of a house. So, and a couple weeks ago, I think somebody said we had like 35 visitors in a Sunday. And I remember when there were only 50 total people that ever came.
Yeah.
So there are really good things happening, right? And I think we need to be aware of what causes that and what's a drain on that, as an example. But I want to counter that with this. The church in America is struggling. Okay. Their church is still popping up, right? But more churches close than open.
Yeah, that's true.
Attendance at church in general is just down. People who say they're Christians, that percentage of people is down. And I wonder what is causing all that, right? And I want to position something, and then I want us just to talk.
Okay.
When I was little, and probably you, I don't know what your life was like when you were like 10.
Okay.
But man, we went to church 51 times a year. Like we would be, we'd go on vacation one time.
Right.
We'd miss that Sunday.
Yeah.
We went 51 other times. There wasn't a discussion about whether we were going to church or not.
Okay.
On Christmas, we went to the regular Christmas and we went to candlelight.
Okay.
And then I remember, man, Easter sunrise, I thought it was the middle of the night. I don't know if like sunrise has changed times. Did y'all get up and go to sunrise?
Yeah.
And it was like the middle of the night.
Well, let's see. We didn't, not when I was a little boy, but like we did sometimes. We were at the beach for Easter.
Okay.
I think that was a time when we had vacation. Okay. And there was a sunrise service there. Like it was down on the beach. Yeah.
Well, man, where I went, it was dark.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like I had just gone to bed and my parents were like, we're going. And you went, and then they did graveside. Like you went out in the cemetery, which was super scary to be little.
No, I never did that.
Man. We went out in the cemetery every time. I don't even remember why. And then somebody fixed eggs. That was.
So then you had breakfast.
Somebody, men's club made eggs.
And yeah.
But there was,
that's wonderful.
There was no question every Sunday that we were going to church. What do you think is happening in culture and in the church that makes it's so much less of a priority? And I know that's a tough question.
Yeah.
But what are some of the factors you think that we're up against as a church?
Well, I mean, I think we used to have, I mean, as a culture, all right, so that's a huge question.
It is.
Right? It's a huge question. But I think when you don't need God, then you just don't, then God gets on your nerves. What he asks of you, like it's too much trouble to get up. Forget about tithing, right? I mean, you're not doing that at all. I'm not going to address
it's rules.
It's there's you know, our own self-sufficiency, just like every culture falls from its highest point. You grow, you get prosperous, strong.
It gets easier.
You take things for granted. There's not a struggle, and you don't need God. You find ways so our culture is really shifting to this place where I define myself.
Yeah.
God doesn't define me. I define myself. The government, so much of like American culture is the government's God. We trust the government to be what we follow the government. We follow, well, not even the government, because we hate the government when it's the other political party in power.
Yeah.
And then when it's us, it's the salvation.
Yeah.
And that's really, okay, so what you see too, all right, I think this is a very important thing. Throughout history, what you see prosperous nations, empires, when they, what starts happening is they start, they either become God averse.
Mm-hmm.
So the government doesn't want the threat of competition
in terms
of loyalty.
Yep.
So you have Russia, you have China, or all, you know, or you gravitate in a different direction, which is the government becomes God, mm-hmm. right? So, like the emperor in Japan is divine. Hitler was seen as divine, savior of Germany. Pharaoh, back in the old days, divine. He was God. Caesar became. So countries, this is the way we go. And so you're either, the power of the country is either becoming God so that it doesn't have a threat, or it is eliminating.
Yeah, diminishing it.
Right. Eliminating that. And so what we have, I think, in America is we have one political party going in one direction and the other political party going in another direction. So we almost see the Republican side as becoming sort of this divine thing, savior-ish kind of language and mm-hmm. all of that. And then we have the other side on the Democrat side where it's like trying to eliminate or be is averse to or doesn't want to, you know, even almost anti mm-hmm. Faith in some ways.
And they
both think that they're right, and they both think that what they're doing is good.
And I believe they're both doing it just because that's what their base. I mean, it's for vote.
To get a vote.
It's to get a vote.
Right.
And you know, we can't hang anything on any of that.
Right. And so consequently, to going back to your original question, so then the church, what does the church do? The church is supposed to be salt.
Yeah.
The church is supposed to stand up and hold government accountable. Mm-hmm. But that's not what's happening. What's happening in church mainline is identifying with one or of those two trajectories in order to fill seats and gain popularity.
You even see pastors coming behind a certain candidate.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And, you know, it just makes me, you know, and you think about the 20-year-olds, you know, I think about those between 20 and 30. You know, for me, and I wonder what you think, you know, I was raised in the church.
Yeah.
So I was gone for a couple weeks in August on vacation.
Yeah.
And so I think I missed two Sundays in a row. And for me, I missed something.
Uh-huh.
Like there's something, there's a void in my life. And then Sunday ends up being weird.
Right.
Like if I'm not in church, it's like, what am I doing? And watching it is just not the same.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And so you even go back to when I was little, there was no option to watch something on TV. You know, we had a TV. It was as big as this set. You know, you could watch it from your neighbor's house. It was
actually not the screen, but the back of the TV.
The back of the TV. Well,
the back of the
ours had, it actually had a turntable on one side and it had the 8-track on the other side. That thing was 12 feet long and weighed 4,000. Put that thing in there.
8-track was the thing, though.
It was cutting edge.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What were we talking about?
You could hit one of the 4 or 5 buttons down there on the bottom.
Just move it through the Bee Gees, greatest hits, because that's all that there was. But there wasn't an option. You couldn't watch something at home, right?
Yeah.
And there, you know, you think back, I mean, when I was 10, that was 1930. I mean, it was, you know, 50 years ago almost.
Right.
There also wasn't anything to do.
Yeah.
So, like, people went to church.
Yeah, William Tell was on.
Yeah, William Tell, Captain Kangaroo.
Right.
I brought that up in another discussion. People are like, who's that? Captain Kangaroo, look it up. Mr. Green Jeans, all of them.
Look it up in your world
look
book.
Look it up in your encyclopedia. But you went to church. That was your community.
Yeah.
Okay,
yes.
So now,
yes.
You know, people sat on their porch.
Yeah, yeah.
And talked, and yeah. Then you went, and then you, man, the competition for the church.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
The church universal, right? And so, you know, I worry, you know.
Well, the church is in competition. That's true. But it's in competition because we don't know what our product is. We're not in competition with anybody else,
right?
For what we should be offering. But when we try to compete with Disney World for entertainment, that's never going to work.
Right.
That's never going to work. It's never going to be showy enough. It's never going to be. So, but if you're offering something that I think right now is a great time where the church really should be thriving. And the reason is because everybody's hungry and thirsty for an authentic relationship, like a real relationship. So there's somewhere where I can actually build trust. And you cannot do that with Facebook friends.
No.
And you can't do that tweeting, and you can't do that. You're still 100% completely alone, regardless of how many followers you have. In fact, having more followers just makes you want to keep more followers, which means you have to give more that's interesting for them to follow. You see, it just wears you out.
I don't have that problem because I got like 8 followers.
Yeah,
but
yeah, I'm one of them.
Yeah,
I'm following.
I think what's happening though, I hear more and more people telling me, "Man, I'm off Instagram. I'm off."
Yeah,
because I think what happened is it did feel good, and it released dopamine and everything when you get a like and you get, but people are smart, and you know when something's fake.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm hearing. So I think it is a good time. For people to maybe try church again for the first time or come back or, but I think that's true. I think
when you also got to know what you're looking for.
Yeah.
Like we've, part of the church's problem is that we've sort of sold it as this solves all your problems.
Yeah.
This is In a very consumer-oriented presentation. And some of that is true. I mean, and you have to do that to some degree. And Jesus did that just by healing people, right? It's like, okay, I can fix stuff, and you're really interested in that.
Right.
But he didn't fix everybody, you know? It was just, this is what power is available,
right.
You know? And then they came and they listened to his message.
Do you think that like this consumerism kind of mentality, let's think about that for a second, like that the church has to be what I want it to be,
mm-hmm.
right? It has to sound a certain way and look a certain way. And those of us who have been around a long time, we know that the church is the place we go to give.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a lost art.
That is.
I don't think people, and I know you, I don't know that I think that way all the time either. I think you have to get in that mindset that I'm here at church to give. I'm here to worship. I'm here to do my part. Like when you're preaching, it does no one any good if they're not engaged and they're not listening and they're not thinking about their own lives and they're not taking notes.
Yeah.
And they're not thinking, oh, wait a minute, you know, because of that, this week I need to go and talk to so-and-so. I need to do this. Like that's the obligation in a microcosm, but it's also you got to go serve. You got to go. And I think our culture in a lot of cases is people want to get out of stuff.
Yeah.
They don't want to give.
Well, they're bombarded.
They're bombarded.
You got
right?
your phone right there and every advertisement in the world's coming
yeah.
at you.
Like I look at even this podcast and I'm like, there are, I don't even know how many, 25,000 podcasts.
Mm.
Right. And it's, those are yet another thing that's vying for someone's time.
Right.
And so if we're going to do this, like the only reason we have a podcast is to further the kingdom for Jesus.
Yes.
That's the only reason. There is no other reason.
It's the only reason to be alive.
It's got to support the church, people, but it's got to, if it's not good and it doesn't build up Discovery Church and it doesn't help Jesus, and then we just need to cancel it in like 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I think, and I don't know that it's young people, because it's old people too, because you looked at COVID and a lot of people that went home and watched on TV never came back.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's because it is easier just in your life just to sit at home in your pajamas, right? But,
sure.
But you, it's a lie you're telling yourself.
Yeah.
You miss it. You can't replace it.
Yeah. You know, church is like, so it's not, being a consumer in one way is what you want. Like, you know, you come to church and the reason why you take notes is because you're hungry. Mm-hmm. You want something. The church is really an inhale, exhale. It's not just an inhale.
Right.
Right? It's like I receive and I release and I receive and I release. And it's in the releasing. See, this is what we don't quite get that needs to get connected. It's in me having something to give other people that I really get a sense of satisfaction and a sense of self-worth.
Yeah,
a sense of value.
Yeah, that's really,
you know,
true.
And you just feel good. You know, after you do something and you've been there and you didn't, let's just say you didn't even want to go. I mean, how many times have you gone to church or you've gone to a particular meeting? Or I know I did one just the other day and it was like, oh man, I had everything, every reason in the world and tired and all this. And then I go and it's like, and then I got that inhale and I got that exhale and I was able to talk and I was able to, and usually it's when you're able to give somebody something. I'm so glad I went to that. I had this conversation and it was just a divine appointment. And then you leave and you're kind of up here. You're just like, not a wasted day.
You don't get that. I mean, we're searching for that.
Yes.
Okay. And the lie is that we get it from a success at work, or we get something new or whatever. And those things do not stay with you.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I taught this class and I wanted to do it. Like, I thought it was a good idea to do it.
Yeah.
Right. But, you know, there's a lot going on.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I got there's just stuff everywhere and stuff's broken and whatever else.
I got a car
broken. It's been broken like every time I had a class. But you know, I was like, I want to do this with younger guys.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah.
Like in their 30s.
Right.
And my oldest son's in his 30s. You know, he's 30.
And it's like what you said on Sunday. It's like it's a lot harder to do something than to not do something.
Yeah. And it was right? It was at 6:30.
Yeah.
And so every time.
In the morning.
And yeah. I was just like,
oof.
But I tell you, at the end of every one.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes somebody would stay behind and be like, hey, can I talk to you about something? This is going on. Or somebody texts me, hey, can I come back over and talk to you about
it?
And man, I was like, you can come right now.
Like, can you stay right where you are?
Can you please interrupt my work? And the stuff that I'm supposed to be doing.
Right.
So I can help you.
Right.
And then it's like, man, the fact that somebody would think that I have something valuable
to give
them.
That's right.
And then they say, then it's like, maybe it was remotely helpful. Man, that's like the best thing. But you don't get that. You don't get it. If you don't come to church and you're not in community.
Yeah.
And you don't know other people, and they don't trust you, and you don't have some influence with them, it's impossible.
That's right.
No one's going to ask. They don't know you.
They don't know you. Well, it's got to have a degree of trust.
Yeah.
Right? And to some degree, people watching you serve other people creates a sense of trust, even if they don't know you personally.
Yeah.
They're looking at you and they're going, golly, seems like a nice person, and he's willing to do this and that and talk to that person, this person. Maybe he'll talk to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny though, because like we're at a point where we stand up and it's like, I shouldn't be standing up in front of anything.
Yeah, you should.
But you don't want to, you know, that doubt is always there.
But that's why you should. I mean, that's why you should.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you're not getting up there going, okay, let me tell y'all how it's done. You know, I mean, when you start this podcast and you're like, I can tell you what not to do.
Yeah, really well.
Right? Right? But yeah. I mean, but that's the qualifying.
I remember piece. We were looking for MLT members one time.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And he'll know who he is when we're.
Oh, yeah.
I think you probably know who he is. But I asked him to be on the ministry leadership team, and he was like, I'm not qualified.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know the Bible well enough and all these things. And I was like, you're perfect.
Yeah.
You know, that's because none of us know the Bible well enough.
Pride and arrogance are the worst things because they create division. That's what the devil does.
Yeah. I don't want somebody that's like, yeah, I've been waiting forever for you to ask me. I have all the answers. I'd be like, we're breaking up.
Y'all been stupid. Yeah, we've been. Y'all waited too long. Y'all almost ruined everything. Finally, I'm going to come in there and save it. Y'all. I'm going to rescue y'all. Yeah, so, it's like Christian Ortiz the other day asking, you know, talking about people with the D-Pod and all that, plugging that, saying, you know, you don't have to know the Bible. I just know Genesis.
Yeah. But, you know, he probably knows Genesis better than me. Like, we're all in a.
Well, the thing is so self-effacing.
Yeah.
And so it's disarming. And but obviously he knows more than Genesis because he knows Jesus.
Yeah.
Right?
So yeah, you had to get a little beyond that.
You got to get a little beyond Genesis on that one. But yeah, I mean, that's who you can trust is somebody that's not in it for themselves. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like church and trusting relationships. That is trust, and it's hard to come by. And it takes a while. That's why we trust Jesus.
Yeah.
Right? Because Jesus demonstrated his trustworthiness in that he was willing to give up everything in his life.
Yeah.
That's it. There's nothing else that he had.
Right.
And there's no other agenda that he presented to anyone. It wasn't like he was trying to be famous or anything, but we can trust Jesus with his claims. And that, I mean, even if you're the biggest atheist in the world, you'd have to say Jesus believed that what he was saying was true.
Yeah. And his disciples after the resurrection, they believed it too.
They believed it too. That's right.
Nobody dies for a lie.
They don't die for a lie. That's exactly right. And maybe even more difficult, live in persecution.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I think it would be easier to die for a cause than it would be to live in obscurity and worry and not knowing where you're going to work, going to work, what's going to happen to your family. That would just be so hard.
It'd be terrible. And it's not a life. I mean, just like when you brought up Braveheart.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, at some other time, you know, it was all about freedom.
Right. Yeah.
And he's like, you can go back and be safe.
Sure.
What kind of life is that?
Right.
You know, what kind of life is that? Like, you know, you think about the 9/11, I guess it's 93, that they took the plane down.
Yes. Oh, yeah. That's right.
Let's roll.
You talk about the people that
were
on it.
Yeah, they were like.
The people on the plane.
The people on the plane were like, we got an option.
Yeah.
And they're like, let's go, right? And that's really.
Right. They crashed the plane killing themselves so other people wouldn't get hurt.
Yeah.
I mean, that's.
That's
a lot. You're living.
Yeah. And they're heroes. Everybody that's ever hurt, they lived their life. They finished the race the right way.
They did. Yep. That's exactly right.
Well, I want to. That was good. I want to shift gears here.
We're going to something else.
No. Just I want to. No, I want to stay right there.
Okay.
But you know, the churches that are closing, at some point they were growing.
Uh huh. That's right.
And so we can't change at every whim, right? But what do we have to be careful about, you think? And what do we have to just be aware of? And where do our shifts have to be? You know, our plan and God's plan, I believe, is for Discovery Church to be impactful and tip of the spear for the kingdom, you know, 50 years from now, if Jesus doesn't come back. And you and I we won't be here 50 years from now. You'll be 130 because
I will be dead.
You're 80. No,
I will be.
But what do we have to do, do you think? Like, what's the thing we got to be careful of as we go into this next season? What does the church have to do? Not to be, I'm not saying to be more relevant. The church is relevant. The gospel's relevant.
The gospel's relevant.
The gospel's right. Relevant.
That's the one thing you got to remember, that it doesn't have to go beyond.
We have great material.
Yeah, we have great material.
So what do you think the keys are there?
Well, one of the things is remember what we are. We're not a maintenance organization.
Right. I love that.
We're a conquering organization. We are on the earth to gain territory as much as we possibly can. I know the way, you know, Revelation has it going, and then the church will come under so much pressure that we are going to lose ground. At least there may potentially be a sort of a cultural church that's out there, but the Jesus followers will probably be persecuted. But we're not a maintenance organization. We aren't there to hold worship services on Sunday morning. We hold worship services on Sunday morning in order to be built up to go out and conquer new territory, forces of darkness. That's exactly right. Equip people.
Yeah, that's why we're a river, not a pond.
River, not a pond. That's right. Yeah. So if we have our identity right, then you start asking different questions. You start asking, are we reaching people? You know, that then becomes a relevant question. Or how do we do it? Or how can we do what we're doing better?
Better.
So, you know, every year we have a process where we put the church through an evaluation at every level. All right, what do we need to do? What keeps us moving forward? So part of it's in the process, but if the attitude and the culture aren't there, then the process just becomes a maintenance piece of the pie. So you really just got to remember who you are, remember what your DNA is, and remember that everything is an opportunity.
Yeah,
you know, everything is an opportunity to move the ball down the field, and that's what we've got to focus on.
Yeah, I love that, and I think the
and the thing you said, we've got great material. Yeah. We don't need to change the material.
Yeah, the material's the same.
What we need to do is to be more Christian, not less. We don't need to be kind of a watered down acceptable. Right. What we really need to do is to be more deliberate and intentional about saying it's the government that killed Jesus.
Yeah.
It's the government that's going to kill the church when the time comes.
Yeah.
So why are we putting all our faith in the government?
Yeah.
It's like, what? I mean, we need to realize who we are and what we're here to do. Jesus was very intentional about, all right, Romans aren't the problem.
Yeah.
You know, but there's every reason in the world to be against them and to hate them and to they're crucifying people, they're killing people, they're doing all that. Jesus says, I haven't seen more faith in anybody in Israel than this Roman centurion right here, or Samaritans or whatever. And yet we still are stuck in this thing about those people over there are the worst people and God loves us better than them. And that just isn't what Jesus was doing. And we need to talk like that so that we act that way and that there is a difference. People can see a difference between who those people are and the rest of the world.
Yeah.
Right now, it's hard to tell.
Yeah, man. I love
it's hard to tell.
Yeah, I love the I think the reinvention every year is key.
Key, yeah.
I think it inspires people. And I think it gives people a different place to plug in, right?
Yeah.
And I just this week, you know, you go back to, I forget even when it was that we packed food. When was it that we packed food?
Well, it was last, it was 2024.
So it was in the fall?
It was in the fall, because we're coming up on the anniversary.
Yeah, that's right.
But we couldn't do it because we've got all this other stuff and tearing the building apart and stuff.
So,
and it had to have the sanitary conditions
yes,
and all that.
Yeah, because it's like an
But we're going to do it next year, well, if we can. If
yeah,
we can
based get, on construction.
Yeah, yeah.
But we packed, you know, 110,000 meals or maybe even more.
Yeah.
And just this week, so that's Feed My Starving Children.
Yes.
In Haiti, we're passing out, I think we've already passed out 90,000 meals from Feed My Starving Children.
Isn't that something?
And it's churches, it's schools, it's a whole list of schools. It's random people. It's yeah. going out and giving. And so that to me inspires.
Yes.
That is, you know, Jesus with clothes on here. You can get around, and but it can be Elizabeth's house,
yeah.
and it can be so many different things. It takes your mundane week of work and sleep and work and sleep, and you know you do finally get to Saturday and Sunday that are easier.
Yeah,
but it gives your life a purpose.
Purpose,
and
yes.
I think that's one of the things for the church to be, and we've seen. Just we know of people that are on fire
yeah.
in church yeah. that really have just shown up
yeah.
and seen that the church has really changed their life. And that's what we say, we'll do it for one, and we will, but we need it really for everybody.
Sure.
You know, it needs to be for everybody. So, man, it's just been
yeah.
it's been great to talk to you today.
And, oh,
it's been so
all right,
much
we're wrapping
fun.
Up.
Well,
yeah, no, okay,
unless
that's
you
good.
Got something
no,
else.
No, I'm good. I'm all for it. I'm done. I'm okay. I'm
you
ready.
You said enough.
I've
you think?
Said. I don't. Hopefully, you don't have to erase too much of it when you do the editing.
Well, we'll probably. I mean, it's going to be mostly this camera. I think.
That's
anyway.
Right.
And I probably should have powdered a little bit before because it's probably a big glare.
I think, you know, one of the things I was like, your wardrobe here is perfect. Like your shirt and your beard are just like, and then it's got the black kind of on the, with the, so you are
I mean,
very,
that was intentional.
Yeah, I'm telling, I know. You
or
are a well-dressed
this was
person.
Right in front and I just put it on, one
it,
of the two.
Could have been, you know, that's the way I dress. No.
I think we've done enough. Buddy.
Yeah, man.
I love you. You're fantastic.
You I love
God
you
bless
too.
You. Thank
yeah,
you, guys.
Hey, this thing is going to be great, by the way. This podcast
we'll
thing you're doing.
We'll see you in episode 2.
Episode 2.
Stay with us.
All right.